I'm still getting over the flu that I had, but...
All right, well, we're going to take a phone call here right out of the gate. We've got Jeff hanging on the line from Temple City, California. And Jeff, hi, how are you?
Hello?
Jeff, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Phil, first of all, I want to say I'm very, very big fan of your program.
Thank you.
And
you're on with Harvey Wireman on Law Talk.
Yes, sir, Mr. Wireman. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Jeff. What can I do for you tonight on Law Talk?
Yes, sir. I used to work briefly for an animal hospital. I was employed basically as a kennel boy. And that job was I cleaned the cages out in the morning, and I also had to make the lunch for the animals, which consisted for the dogs of meal and meat mixed together and water, and for the cats just straight meat, because that's what Dr. Archer feeds the dogs. Okay.
Now, okay. Go ahead.
So I had to do that. And then another part of my job, along with this other kid by the name of Toby Bo, once a month, the animals that were in the freezer, we had to take to the pound for incineration. My question is this.
Hold on for a minute. I don't understand what you mean by the animals that were in the freezer.
Yeah, what is that?
I'm sorry. Those are the animals that have been put down by the doctors or animals that have died. They're put in a freezer.
Oh, my word.
Wow. And you had to take them to the pound for incineration?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We were driving over to the Temple City pound, and there was, unfortunately, tragically, one of the frozen up dogs was a puppy, and it was dead. I mean, they're all frozen. And
can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
Where do you keep where do you put these dogs?
In the back of the pickup truck.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
One of the dogs that had died was a puppy. And it was very tragically wrong of me. I did take the puppy out of the back of the truck, and I was wearing a smock, if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, what, you mean like a surgical smock?
Well, yeah, it's what we wear at the animal hospital. So I had this puppy, and I did, and I am sorry about it, but I did, tragically, I hid it inside the smock. When we pulled up at a stop sign, there was a little boy on a bike, and I pulled out the frozen up dog, and I said, do you want to buy a puppy? The kid cried. He went to his mom. She called the animal hospital, and I was dismissed from my job. And my question is, while what I did was it was tragically wrong, isn't that a violation of my constitutional rights?
Okay, Mr. Wireman, what do you think?
Well, what is what you feed? Here's the thing that I want to get out of the way. You could have gotten to that. Why did you tell me what you feed the dogs?
What I feed them?
Yeah.
It's basically grain mixed with meat. And then you put out a bowl of water.
No, I don't know. I don't want to know. But why did you go through all of that? You gave me a whole preamble. You could have just said...
Well, I want you to know what I do, that I also treat animals very kindly, and the only ones that I abused are not even abused on account of they're dead and frozen.
All right, so you basically what you did, Jeffrey, is you did something rather childish and stupid, and if you'll pardon me, but it was a jackass. So you pulled you took a frozen puppy.
Yes, sir.
And you hid it inside some sort of clothing that you were wearing. And were you driving the truck?
No, I wasn't. Mr. Bo was.
Who's Mr. Bo?
Toby Bo.
Toby Bo is the kid he's working with.
Okay. So, because I want to make sure you're not trying to sell this kid a frozen dog while you're driving. So you were not driving?
No, sir.
All right. So there was no danger then to any vehicular traffic or pedestrians. Your hands were not off the wheel. You were trying to make a business deal.
But he was fired by his... What was the reason you were given for being fired? For being insensitive, huh?
Well, they didn't know that I'm not allowed to... We're not allowed to do anything with the dogs but take them and get them, you know, and stick them in the fire. Okay, so...
All right, so what did the guy fire you for?
Because he fired me because the kid cried.
All right, so you upset a little boy by trying to sell him a frozen dog.
That's what they said.
All right. And you want to know if your constitutional rights have been violated?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't think your constitutional rights have been violated. I think the discretion of your employer is such that you did something that would reflect badly on his business. You understand?
Yeah, but they didn't know. We don't have a sign on the truck. It could be any animal hospital.
It could be any animal.
Well, how many are there?
How many are there?
In the Temple City area, it's probably four or five in the basic suburban area, and they didn't know.
Well, then how did they know to call?
Who?
How did the mother of the kid that bawled when you tried to sell him a... God.
All right, now hold on, Harvey.
Hello?
Hold on for a minute, man.
I told you I didn't want to do this GD segment. How did the parents of the little boy know to call your animal hospital to complain?
But it could have been any animal hospital.
I know that, but they called your animal hospital, didn't they?
Okay, let me back up. The frozen dog...
Wait a minute. Mr. Wireman's asking a sensible question. How did the parents of the animal hospital that you were... How did the parents...
Let me do it for... The little kid that bawled when you tried to sell him a frozen animal, correct?
Yes, sir.
Did his parents call your place of employment to complain?
Yes, sir.
How did they know where you work?
That's not clear yet.
Well, for Christ...
All right, watch your language.
Man, I did pro bono work for a great many charity groups, and there were a lot of frustrating cases, but I've never come across a case like this.
You got a boner where? Or...
All right, that's... Did you know Sewell was coming on, bud?
Yeah, he called earlier.
That's great. Thanks for telling me, by the way.
Well, you didn't want me to bother you.
I'd like to be apprised of it when that nut comes on, because if he's going to talk about what happened to Natalie Holloway... Anyway, it's time for our flashback request, and this is from Eddie in Tampa. You know, we seem to get a lot of requests from a cat named Eddie in Tampa. How many of you guys are there out there, anyway? Eddie in Tampa. Doesn't that ring a bell? Eddie in Tampa? Anyway, Phil, for my money, the greatest moment in radio history occurred when Margaret called live from Iraq, where she was acting as a human shield. Please get this jewel of broadcast history back on the air as a listener flashback. Kindest regards, Eddie in Tampa. Oh, this is the right after the war started. Oh, this is a good one. This is Margaret calling me from Iraq. She was completely against this war, and she was a human shield. Here it is. Are you there, Margaret?
Yes, Phil, I'm here in Baghdad right now.
I didn't know whether or not we'd be able to get you on the line in terms of your availability. I know things are extremely dangerous there, but you are remaining there as a human shield.
Absolutely, Phil. I believe very, very much that this is an illegal war by the United States. I think the Nazis in Washington and the fascists will never keep the people of Iraq down, and I'm here with a group of them, and we're having a die-in here in Baghdad. Of course, I don't really mean I want to die, but we are protecting the Iraqi people from missile strikes as a human shield.
All right. I got to tell you something. You're endangering your life by being there.
I don't care, Phil. I think it's right to be here, and I'm going to stay here for as long as I can.
I just think that it is stupid of you to be there, given the fact that American bombs will be falling soon.
I don't care. All right, everyone. Phil, screw you and your Nazi friends. We're now going to sing a folk song. And it's a folk song about the horror of war. A one, two, three. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers?
Holy Jesus.
Sure. Ow. what in the hell? Didn't we do another one of those where she keeps trying to sing and she gets hit again and hit again and hit again? There's Margaret from the, literally, that was, what's the date on that, Mark? It's like March 27, 03. So, yeah, that's like the first, just a couple of weeks before the war in Iraq started. And that is our flashback request. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Did we already take our break? We did. We had Harvey Wireman there, along with, of course, the inimitable Jeff Dowder on Law Talk. And we're going to bring on the line here now Herb Sewell. The situation with Natalie Holloway, of course, continues to be, well, there just isn't any end in sight on this thing, whether they're going to find a body or not. Herb, thanks for joining us. Mr. Sewell spent time in Atascadero Psychiatric Hospital, a forensic criminal hospital. He was incarcerated for child abuse, sexual molestation, as well as felonious assault against women. And we thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Phil.
You have been following this. You have seen these suspects. You have heard the families. You have heard the commentary. What do you think?
Well, I don't for the life of me expect that they're going to find this girl alive. You know, and I don't mean to laugh, but you don't think there's anyone that actually thinks she's alive, do you?
No. Unless, of course, well, there's always somebody.
Well, let me just disabuse anyone in your listening audience as to whether Natalie Holloway is alive, and I'm saying this with the greatest sensitivity, you know, as much sensitivity as I can have coming from my background, which is sometimes, you know, I say I have sensitivity, but I really don't. I really don't care, but,
well, do you care about this?
Well, I don't know. Yes, sure, I guess I do. But the point that I'm trying to make is that Natalie Holloway is dead. I don't think there's any doubt.
All right, well, now the job is to find her body.
That is correct.
And do you have any ideas?
Phil, I will tell you, based upon my experience, and this has not been my experience, per se. This has been some of my very best friends. It sounds very funny. You know, I hear people say, some of my best friends are black, and some of my best friends are Jewish. Some of my best friends are serial murderers. You know, but I say that, Phil. And
all right, let's get to the point, because it may be funny to you, but it's not funny to me or the rest of my audience.
No, I'm very sensitive to that. I'm very sensitive to that.
Well, where do you think she is?
I will tell you right now that my suggestion, were I consulting with the Aruba police, whatever police authority is in Aruba, I would, Phil, at this time, be checking bait shops.
Bait shops?
Yes.
What is that based upon?
That is based upon a great many conversations I've had with Walter Bellhaven, Randall Toomey, who Randall will talk to me, but Randall won't talk to anyone else. But Randall Toomey...
Is Mr. Toomey the one that was catatonic?
Mr. Toomey is catatonic per se, but he will speak with me. And the thing that he spoke with me about was the manner in which he disposed of parts of his family's bodies before the French Coast Guard apprehended him. Now, what was fascinating is that he used... you want to hear something funny? He literally had ordered some Ginsu knives. And he...
All right, okay. So he told you how...
Well, Randall told me how he disposed of bones. You have to understand that as he was, shall we say, I want to be able to say it, as Randall was beginning to bait his hook, you know, out there in the South Pacific, and you want to know the son of a, if you'll pardon my language, the son of a bitch of it was, he caught a 600-pound marlin, and he had it hanging upside down. He even took a picture of himself with it just as the Coast Guard had arrived and arrested him.
This is this guy that used parts of his family, his children, and his wife's body as bait to catch a marlin?
Yes, that's correct.
And then he took a picture of himself standing next to it?
Yes, he did. And he still has it. And I'll go into his room, and I'll say, boy, look at that. That's a hell of a... He says, yeah, you know, and would you believe what I used as bait? And I said, I know already, Randall. But here's the thing. It is my belief that Natalie Holloway is dead, and it is my belief that they need to immediately now, and within, I would say the next 8 weeks, close down all seafood restaurants and seafood markets until they're able to catalog all of the items that, everything that they're selling.
Why?
Well, you wanted me to be sensitive to your listeners.
Oh, my God.
Right.
So you're saying that this poor girl may show up, parts of her may show up in a seafood restaurant?
I am saying, Phil, based upon the individuals that I know that I'm in contact with, individuals that I'm in direct email contact with, that this is sometimes the method, yes.
Oh, my God. How?
You see, you have to understand something. Beef, chicken, all of these, for some reason, are subject to inspection by the USDA. But do you know what isn't? Fish. You can literally go out, catch fish, and it'll turn up on a restaurant table that night. And it has not done anything other than change hands from the fisherman to the buyer, the wholesaler, and then sold to the restaurant. And
so the government has no real inspection of fish?
No, not at all. So I am saying to people in Aruba, were I in Aruba, I'd have an umbrella drink, right? You know, were I in Aruba, I'd be at the pool. But no, were I in Aruba, I would say...
Well, what do you tell people?
I would, first of all, I'd stay away from calamari. It's the same...
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'm just telling you. Stay away from the calamari. Do not, and I repeat this, and I've said this to Bill Winningham, who is a very dear friend of mine, and was also incarcerated at Tascadero. He was also incarcerated at Rayford for a triple homicide that he didn't commit, but he said he wished he had, and I think that's what put him in jail. But Bill says, don't ever order the tuna steak. Because, brother, you...
Oh.
Well, I'm sorry. You asked me.
All right.
Or the conch fritters. Now, I really like the shrimp cocktail.
Will you get out of here? Get that freak out of here.
Well, you wanted to talk to him.
I know I did. I'm compelled to talk to him, and then he starts talking, and it creeps me out.
You want some of this?
What is it?
Tuna fish.
Get it out of here.
It's really good. Now, use tuna helper.
Yeah, like you did the other day, and you put your freaking tuna hands all over my microphone. I come in here, and I'm sniffing it. It smelled like that barber's breath you were telling me about the other day.
Think she's a dyke?
I don't know if she's a dyke. And whatever you do, don't order the calamari. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Your hanging wing, your big wing, your back wing, your 4-inch wing and your 9-inch wing. Why, all of it is just utter horse dung, because there's a headline. Even you, Drudge, you know what? You're beginning to really tighten my jaws up, too. If it says baby bombers, boy suiciders, then why don't you link me to a story that gives their freaking age, man? So he links this story on Sky News and those British news websites. Baby, Katie, bar the door. What are you people reading for news over there? You know, it's really nuts. Britain has a very literate and educated electorate. It's not uncommon to find 15-year-old girls who know what political party they want to join when they're old enough to vote. You never find that in America. I mean, rarely. Hi, you're 15?
Uh-huh.
Well, who are you going to vote for?
Vote?
I mean, whatever, it's fine. My daughter probably knows who she... No, even my daughter is a ditz. But she's a great... she's an athletic ditz. That's what it is now with girls, right? You don't have to be smart, girls. Be an athlete. Basketball, hockey, baseball. You know, get out there and play. Boy, that hockey team. You know, softball has created such a surge of popularity that they've canceled it from the Olympics. All right. Nice going, man. You cats with the baseball, too. They canceled baseball and softball. Why? Blows! Anyway, excuse me, I got a little emphysema and cancer going, but it's going to be okay. They call them boy suicide bombers, but I can't find the age. Then I go all the way down here to the bottom of the freaking story, and it says 19 or 22. That ain't freaking kids. Those are men. Boy suicide bombers. Now, one of them was pretty young. He was living at home. The boy bombers, all four were suicide killers, gang came from Yorkshire, two were aged 19 and 22, disguised as hitchhikers. You know, the old creep that talked those kids, okay, let's say they're kids, they're 30, whatever, to me they're kids. The old wrinkled up, hook hand, eyeless bastard, isn't that old guy with the hook hands? Is he still alive? You know that old guy that's over in Britain, and he talks about how they ought to just cut the throats of every Jew they see, and he's allowed to say that just in public. He can stand on a soapbox because it's Europe and it's groovy, and you have, like, you know, human rights is all kind of, there's a groovy thing going on with it over there, man. So, you know, you can stand up at a soapbox over there, and you can say every Jew must die, right? I mean, gee, we're only about 60 years removed from World War II. Why not? I mean, the ovens have been all dismantled. Never, you know, it's cool to say it again. Right? Ain't he the guy? Some cat with two hooks for hands and one eye. I feel sorry for the guy, and maybe we can find a job for him. I don't know, repairing sewing machines or something at Goodwill Industries. But when he's in a mosque and he's, like, laying that stuff out there, already he's worthless with no hands and one eye. Now he's laying out this stuff that he wants to kill people. I say take him out and put him in a dumpster now. One of them compactors. Oh, my God. It's... Well, I volunteer. I'll do it. I'll go over there right now the way I'm feeling. I'll go over there right now. You think I'm kidding? You pay me enough money, I'll go over and kill that guy right now. See, I ain't breaking any law. I didn't say I want to kill the president. I love my president. But I will go to Britain, and I'll kill some freaking raghead with two hooks for hands and a freaking eyeball. I don't care if I'll suicide bomb his ass myself. I will. Show me how to hook it on, man. I'll go up, I'll give him a big hug. Yeah, man, I'm so down with everything you say, everything that's going on with the brothers, and boom! Next thing you know, you don't know, in the words of Dirty Harry, you don't know which arms are with which, what legs are with which. Just Henry and this Sheik all... freaking raghead, man. It's just not good. Now, I had an email exchange... You got to hear this. Colonel something or other. Don't you love these guys that signed their name Colonel Jackass, U.S. Air Force retired, or Colonel Bob Butthole, U.S. Air Force retired, or Colonel this or Colonel that? Okay, fine. You did service to our country. I don't know. There's something in me that the guys that got to crow about it a little too much. Every combat veteran that I've ever met in my life. The guy's really been through some serious trauma with regard to battle. They're not all that anxious to talk about it. And when they do it with a great deal of humility. And they do it with a lot of sensitivity. And they only do it when you really are pulling it out of them. And especially the guys that win medals. Congressional Medal of Honor guys. First of all, half of those guys couldn't believe they won the Congressional Medal of Honor. They thought they were getting court-martialed when they got the call. Like one guy says, I got a call, and they said, we want to see you in Washington. I said, boy, I'm done now. I'm going to prison. No, you're getting the Congressional Medal of Honor. Okay. Any guy that emails me and begins his email with, I served my country very proudly, and I protected your children. Okay, Phil? And Bush is a liar, and Bush is a pathological piece of crap, and Bush is a cowboy, and Bush is a draft dodger, and a lot of these pejoratives, Bush is an idiot, and it wasn't very intelligent stuff, but it was all kind of the usual stuff that you hear those people say about Bush when they really don't have an argument to make. So it's just he's stupid, he can't speak properly, even though that's been explained millions of times. And I love these people, I love these imbeciles who talk about how Bush can't put an English sentence together, and you ought to see some of their freaking emails. You would drop to one knee and weep for the human race. Just like you saw the Virgin at Fatima, man. Just... The guy writes this email, and Bush is an idiot, Bush is a liar, Bush is a scumbag, Bush is this, Bush is that. Is there any argument there about why he's a liar? Do you have any proof there? No, they don't lay that on me at all, no. Well, because they're too... They know, I see them coming a mile away, so they can't really do that. And you, I protected... Now, here's what a guy really says. I protected your kids, probably more than you're doing, right? So I wrote this guy back. I said, Dear Colonel, sir, I don't know how you got to be a colonel. Maybe driving the general's wives around. Maybe you're angry because you didn't make general. But I'll bet you if I slapped you hard enough, you'd cry. You'd cry like a girl. I said, when it comes to my children, Not only do you not protect them, I protect them, and I don't want you within 100 miles of my kids, okay? I don't care what F-16 jet fighter you flew over Korea. Any guy that's got to start off an email to me justifying his pejorative and insulting attacks upon a president who finds himself at a juncture in history that few other presidents have found themselves at, with his military record, hey, you want to know something? All bets are off. I love our military, and I respect those men and women, man. I love them all. Some old, pruned-up, retired creep. Then it comes out, he wasn't really in combat. He just flew kind of peacetime, and he's laying all this stuff on me like I'm supposed to dig it. Hey, I don't mind, man, that you were in the service. That's great. Don't ever use that as your rationale to begin to rip into a man personally, and you have no argument factually about the things you claim. He's a liar. I sent this guy back an email. I should have known better. A whole thing, man. Okay, here's why Bush isn't a liar, and I explained it. I explained, yes, Bush got together with his cabinet right after the Iraq War. He said, yeah, I got my eye on Iraq. Nobody denies that. He told Robert Woodward that. He's not hiding that. He said, I got my eye on Iraq. They said, well, Mr. President, there was some disagreement. He said, and he also told Rumsfeld, I want to get a new battle plan, or what they call a war plan. We have war plans. Do you know that we have war plans for the entire globe? The Defense Department has a war plan for, like, the North Pole. It does. How would we deploy troops to the North Pole if Russia decided to invade us over the North Pole? I mean, I don't know why, but we got... And President Bush said, how current is our Gulf War plan? And they said, actually, it's 91. He says, that ain't current at all. I want a new Gulf War plan. So he asked the DOD to get a new Gulf War plan. He wanted to take a look at Iraq vis-a-vis the weapons of mass destruction. He wanted to take a look at Iraq anew because... Why? Why did he have his eye on Iraq? They had not been in compliance with the UN. They tried to murder a president of the United States, if anybody gives a crap. They had been harboring Abu Nadal, one of the biggest pieces of garbage that ever walked the face of the earth. He's the guy that plugged that old man Leon Klinghoffer and threw him into the freaking ocean. That freaking Abu Nadal. Somebody had to take that guy out and hang him from a freaking meat hook, right? This is all going on in Baghdad. That scumbag's got an office in Baghdad. And all these people are saying, you know. So anyway, that's why Bush was looking at it. Did he lie? No. Did he get bad intelligence? Yes. Does that mean our reason for going to war was wrong? No. It's still a freaking good reason to go to war. There. I explained it to you, man. And if you want me to give it to you in detail, I cited chapter and verse from the actual interviews given by Bush, the so-called Downing freaking Street memo, and all this other stuff that these imbeciles email me about. Oh, my God. I laid this all out meticulously, and what did I get back?
You know, you sound like a little girl, all whining and crying. I realized that I was, you know what, why did you do it, Henry? Why did you get sucked in, you idiot?
You got all impressed with the fact that the cat was a colonel, even though you said you'd slap him. And it turns out he's just an idiot. He's just a freaking idiot with a funny-looking hat. I bet you he's got one of those Air Force hats with a big, like, jet on the top of it. Just,
hello, I'm General Hershey Bar.
Woo! So anyway, and what does he do? Well, you know, he blocks my email. Look, I get all these emails, and so I reply all. You know how you get those big ones with all 85 million addresses? I hit reply all. And then people will say to you, why did you do that? I don't want to. Look, if you send me an email, well, I'm gonna hit reply all. I don't care whether you like it or not. If you don't want to send it to me, don't send it to me. As it turns out, whatever it was that I was on was like this collection of, like, 100-year-old people.
My goodness, this guy's a raging arsehole.
You know, they were all bagging on me because I didn't dig the colonel. And I kept calling him General, which probably really PO'd the whole. It probably tightened his jaws up big time. I called him General, and I said, goodnight, Grandma. Well, that's probably really... All right, tonight on the Phil Henry Show, and our number 1-800-449-8686, Clara Bingham will join us to talk a little bit about the Willy Wonka movie. Oh, whoopee. And more from Bob Bakian and NASA ahead. Clara is from Joyful Union Congregation, and she's on the line. Clara, how you doing? Are you there, hon?
I'm
right
here. Hold on,
Phil.
Direct water.
I'll get it registered.
Phil, I'm going to get my... I have a root canal I'm taking care of right now.
You're having a root canal?
That's right, Phil.
All right, open up.
So, this is our carrier. And the carrier...
Wait a sec. I can't talk to you when you got a tube in your mouth.
Who said I had a tube in my mouth? No, I...
All right. Get her squared away, will you, bud?
All right. Oh,
Yeah, Mavis, you can't pull those gags. No, it's a family show. Yeah, yeah, I know he's a tight ass. What are you gonna do? Right, okay. No, Howard Stern retired. He's resigning. He retired. He's gonna go make billions of Sirius. Yeah, yeah, I know Infinity's in trouble. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, they're gonna be left holding their ass. What do you?
Will you get her on the air? What are you having a conversation with her? How you doing, hon?
I said I'm all right, and my mouth is a little numb from but I did want to have my commentary this week.
Yes, it's time now for the Mavis Leonard commentary.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mavis Leonard, and my commentary this week is Willy Wonka movie should not be released because it's racist, and the only colored people they have is a Oompa Loompa, which is a racist-sounding name, and they all look like coons. And they're all made out of chocolate, and which is like saying that all black people look the same. I also think that Willy Wonka should have been black because no white man could ever dress himself that good. Now, if you...
All right, now let me ask you right away. Are you serious about this?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Oompa Loompas, what are they?
They are made out of chocolate, and they sing a song, which I will quote the lyrics of the song, Phil. And I think that they are made that symbolism. They are like a house Negro. And
the Oompa Loompa is a house Negro.
Yes, that is correct.
Wasn't this a little kids' movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, it very much is a little children movie, Phil. But in keeping with what you have been saying last hour on your program about Disneyland and Disney World, and It's a Small World, reflecting how the Arab. Is shoving it all into a backpack and taking it all to hell.
Yeah. Shoving it into a backpack and taking it all to hell.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
See, I was very emotional there.
Yeah.
Here are the lyrics to Oompa Loompa. Oompa Loompa, doompity dee. I got a perfect puzzle for ye. Oompa Loompa, doople daddle dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me. All right, now here's where it gets heavy.
Uh-huh.
What do you get when you guzzle down sweets? Eating as much as an elephant eat. What are you getting terribly fat? What do you think will come of that? I don't like the look of it. Oompa Loompa Doompa to die. If you're not greedy, you'll go sigh. See? Now, what that means is they Negroed that up.
And what do you mean they Negroed it up?
Well, look at Oompa Loompa Doompa to die. If you're not greedy, you'll go far, F-A-R, far, not far, but it's all Southern. I think it's racist. And Johnny Depp is the most racist cracker. I saw him in France. I said, Mr. Depp, I love you. Can I sleep with you here sexy? He told me to go to hell. I said, you son of a bitch. I'll never see another movie.
Get her out of here.
He's nuts.
Yeah, it's Phil Hendry's show.